The routine of the day was taking two children to school as I went to work. This morning was sunny. I was standing outside the back door in the porch looking at the garden. Children were getting ready for school, husband was washing up, and there was a tremendous bang. It wasn't a normal bang because the floor shook. And as the crow flies, I'm about half a mile from where the explosion happened. It just left you feeling a bit strange because you knew it wasn't a normal sound. And I said to my husband, "That was a big bang." And he said, "Either the barracks or the Calagas place near the barracks has gone." So immediately I telephoned the chief reporter at the Mercury and said, "Did you hear that big bang?" And he said, "No, never heard a thing." He said, "What big bang?" I said, "Well, there's been a tremendous bang that is not a normal bang." So he said, "Oh, I'll make a few phone calls." About a minute later, he was back on the phone and said, "There's something going on in Canada Road. There's been an explosion of some sort." So I said, "Okay, I'll drop everything and go up there now," which I did. So I can't actually remember how the children got to school that day, but that's incidental, I suppose. Drove up to behind the Strand, parked the car. Everything looked fine, nothing out of the ordinary. There was a roadblock at the end of the road that I was walking along. And all of a sudden, this little old lady appeared in the street. Nobody else in the street, little old lady in her nightie, looking slightly flustered, heading towards me to ask me what had happened. Of course, I had no idea what had happened. Then you're in a position, you think, well, what do you do with this old lady who's obviously in a state of shock, doesn't know what's going on? Or do I just ignore the old lady and carry on walking to find out what's happening? But going to Sunday school as a child, I asked her where she came from, and she came from a block of flats which was right next door to where the explosion had happened. It used to be a primary school site, but it was a modern 1960s block of flats, and that's where she lived. So she told me what number she lived, and it was upstairs. So I took her upstairs, knocked on the door, and delivered her back to her husband. She was fine, so I left her there. And then as I walked around the corner, it was just madness, confusion, emergency services, lots and lots of people, a barrier across the road, so obviously nobody could go anywhere, it couldn't go any further. Spoke to whoever was standing at the barrier, and they just said it was an explosion of some sort, probably a gas explosion. So then you just think, oh, okay, gas explosion. Not realising the severity of it, but realising that there was something hugely wrong because of the number of fire engines. We only have one in Deal that's full-time, two retained. But there were fire engines arriving and ambulances arriving, so you knew it was something awful. Couldn't actually get anywhere, because you never can in this situation, because nobody wants to tell you anything, especially when you say you're from the press. So I went back to the office, and that was equally confusing. The phones were red hot, everybody wanted to know what was happening, and we had no official anything to tell anybody. And I just remember sitting in the office, and Basil Kidd arrived, who used to be our photographer and was the ex-Royal Marine. And he was in absolute state of shock, because he didn't know what happened. And I think the fact that he didn't know what happened and whether his mind was racing over time, because nobody, I don't think, linked the IRA with Deal at that point. I knew there was security measures at the barracks, because my husband used to work at the barracks, and he used to drive a lorry, and they were always putting mirrors under the lorries on big poles, and there was always a different name for each alert each day. So you knew that there was high security on occasions. But I don't think anybody realised that one day the IRA would move into Deal and try and kill lots of people. It just seemed inconceivable at the time. And that wasn't actually confirmed for hours and hours and hours. It was still a gas explosion. But we were getting phone calls at the office from across the world, because obviously somebody put this out on the wire, and everybody wanted to know more. And in instances like that, if they want to know more, they phone the local newspaper. Mm. And Tony Arnold, who was the chief reporter, but not at the time, he kind of manned the desk at the corner of the room and batted people off. And then eventually, I guess, it was established that what it was. Now, the timescale of all this is very confusing, because I can't remember when it was definitely suggested that it was a bomb and it was put there intentionally to blow people up. But I just remember Basil Kidd getting into a bigger state of shock as the days went on. And I can remember reaching the weekend, and it was evident what had happened by then. And just talking to people who were actually in shock.
So for the rest of the bombing day, having gone, found the place blocked, gone back to the office, you remained in the office?
I think I remained in the office because to a certain extent, even though we had a gas explosion in Deal, nobody was telling us how many had been killed at that point. And I think until you find out the severity of something, you don't terribly move fast to do anything, if you like. That sounds callous, I know. But I wasn't the chief reporter at the time.
Can you remember, was it sort of morning or afternoon before you realised there were people who were killed?
It was by the end of the day, because we were sitting there listening to the main news, the BBC news. And to get an official comment from somebody, everyone's very... In anything nasty, everyone's ever so worried about what they say to the press, first of all, because it can be misinterpreted sometimes, or it might not be strictly speaking what happened.
In the days afterwards, what was your main role then?
It was reactions more than anything, talking to people about what they remembered of the day. Because obviously we weren't there, but the official people were.
And presumably the reactions were a mix of shock, anger?
No anger. No, not particularly. Not on the record anyway. Mm. People were very careful what they say to the press. And then we had to decide how to... Because we didn't come out again until the following Thursday. So we had to work out what actually we were going to write about. And I can remember the editor at the time, Malcolm Mitchell, wanting to go on the positive spin, to say that the band plays on.